You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. Spooner Homecoming dress-up days today is Hawaiian. I think I would fit in just nicely there. Again, Homecoming dress-up days today is Tuesday, and it is Hawaiian dress for their Homecoming week. Walk-in flu shots are available at 9 o'clock at the Essentia Hayward Clinic. For more information, go to essentiahealth.org/flu for times and locations. Again, walk-in flu shots available at Essentia Health Clinic in Hayward. Flu vaccines are covered by Medicare, Medicaid, and most private insurance companies. Make your own greeting cards happening at the Hayward Resource Center, located at 15856 East 5th Street in Hayward. Starting at 9:30, you can make your own greeting cards and all the supplies will be provided. Make up to 4 cards for only $3 each in the upper level of the Hayward Senior Resource Center. Starting at 9:30, make your own greeting cards. Looking to add joy and song to your week? Well, join the Northern Lights Choir. This is a community choir that has been specifically designed to foster friendships and create safe, supported community for people living with dementia and their care partners through the shared joy of music. Northern Lights is a member of the Giving Voice Network, an initiative that is supporting choirs like this across the globe. They will be meeting at 10 o'clock today until noon with a social time after the rehearsal. They are meeting at the Shell Lake Arts Center, 605 First Street in Shell Lake. The location has street parking and a side alley entrance ramp for wheelchairs and walkers and close accessible bathrooms. There's no cost for this, so come on and join the Northern Lights Choir at the Shell Lake Arts Center on Tuesday at 10 a.m. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf will be open at 10 o'clock. This is located at the Spider Lake Youth Center, located at 11255 Highway 77 here in Hayward, just north of the Hayward Hospital on the left-hand side. They have lots of meats, produce, and vegetables available for anyone to come and get the food for the program, regardless of your financial situation. Again, the Spider Lake Church is located at 11255 Highway 77. The Northwoods Community Food Shelf opening up at 10 a.m. At 10:15 at the Sherman and Ruth Weiss Community Library, it's story time presented by the Northwest Connection Family Resources. Again, at the Hayward Library, starting at 10:15 until 10:45, story time at the library. Spooner Cross Country Varsity Invite will be at Barron High School at 4:30. Boys Soccer for Barron School will be at the Cumberland High School at 4:30. Boys Varsity Invitational for Solon Springs will be at Northwood Golf Course at 4:30. A Girl Scout meeting will be held at the Solon Springs School Cafeteria starting at 5 o'clock tonight. Again, Girl Scout meeting, Solon Springs Cafeteria School at 5 o'clock. Boys Varsity Soccer for Hayward is away and they will be at Ashland High School starting at 5:30. Again, Boys Varsity Soccer for Hayward will be away game at Ashland High School starting at 5 o'clock. Celebrate Recovery is starting at 5:30 at the Hayward Wesleyan Church, located at 10655 Nyman Avenue here in Hayward. Celebrate Recovery is a faith-based recovery program helping you with your hurts, habits, or hang-ups. Again, celebrate recovery starting at 5:30 until 8 o'clock at the Hayward Wesleyan Church. Girls varsity volleyball for Hayward will be away game at Cameron High School starting at 7 p.m. Again, girls varsity volleyball for Hayward will be away game at Cameron High School at 7 o'clock. On Wednesday, students at LCO School will have a half a day because of parent-teacher conferences later in the afternoon. So again, a half day for LCO School District kids on Wednesday due to parent-teacher conferences. Washburn County is having a caregiver conference starting at 8:30 until 3:30, being held at the Washburn County Wellness Center 50 Plus, located at 850 West Beaverbrook Avenue in Spooner. Lots of different speakers and breakout sessions available. A light breakfast and lunch are provided. Advance registration is required. Please call 715-635-4460. Attendance is free, but space is limited. Again, call 715-635-4460. The Aging and Disability Resource Center of Washburn County, again, is presenting a caregiver conference from 8:30 until 3:30 on Wednesday. Winter is just around the corner, and maybe you need some new wiper blades. Well, Timber Ford is offering free wiper blade giveaway Wednesday at 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. They will be at the corners of Highway B and K, right in front of Kubi's Coffee, from 9 until 3, passing out and installing free wiper blades from Timber Ford. You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back here in 20 minutes on Buzz of the North. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
We've got more with Pat Kreitlow coming up here in the Buzz of the North. It is a Greeple Tuesday morning. We'll talk a little Green Bay Packers. We'll talk a little Minnesota Purple Vikings. Joel here. Gray. Morning, Gray.
Good. Well, it's a morning.
Before we get to our football talk, we've got a keyword this hour, 7 a.m. hour. It's rival, appropriately enough. R-I-V-A-L. That is your keyword. Text that to us on the Civic Media app right now. It's free to put on your Android or iPhone. Go to WBZH, Buzz of the North, rival, R-I-V-A-L. You'll be entered into today's daily prize of $200 cash and gold jewelry, gold-plated necklace, and you'll be in for tickets to go see the Green and Gold on November 23rd. So get that entered to us after Sunday's game, Gray. Maybe the value of those tickets dropped a little bit. But Packer fans, hey, settle down.
100%.
Right? Settle down.
I logged onto the fan forums after the loss, and one of the top posts was, some of you need to take a breath. And I was like, okay, even that person who's giving the reality check is taking this too seriously. I was like, y'all, it's the NFL. These guys get paid. That's Myles Garrett.
Yeah. And we kind of, for the Packers to have success, they're going to have to use that formula that really they did when Rodgers won a Super Bowl and when Favre won a Super Bowl. And that was, both of those years, their defenses were really good.
Yes. Yep. You've got to have a good connection with a receiver or at least manufacture some offense somehow, which is what we really struggled with yesterday. But on top of that, you've got to have a pass rush. I mean, look at Super Bowl winning teams, whether it's the Packers or not. Look at the 90s era dynasty Cowboys. One of the names that doesn't get enough attention, though he is a Hall of Famer, Charles Haley, the pass rusher.
Yeah.
You know, the guy, he was a very interesting dude. Charles Haley's got some off-the-field stories, but he was instrumental. You've got to do something to eliminate opposing offenses, and the defense is the only option. I think from there it's a pretty foregone conclusion.
And we found out, well, the Packers are finding out what Micah Parsons can mean to a team. You look at the Browns yesterday, their defense. I mean, they got a Micah Parsons-type player that has to be accounted for. And Matt LaFleur admitted in his coaching career, he never prepped for one guy more than he did for that Browns game.
Which is why I'm sure Matt LaFleur was absolutely as scared as anybody when Zach Tom went down yesterday. No, LaFleur didn't have nothing ready for that, but I'm sure, I think the playbook probably shrunk by about 60%. That's a number that I'm definitely just kind of pulling out of nowhere there. But if you told me that they had less than half their options after their number one right tackle went down facing Myles Garrett, I'd say, yeah, that makes total sense. Certainly the playbook shrank, and what's worse, it didn't necessarily matter because Jordan Morgan, the replacement, did not hold up by discipline or by execution.
Yeah.
The when the whole offensive line, who is the key to the game, falls apart in the first offensive series, I'm amazed we held out as well as we did, and that it was the back of one mistake that really cemented the loss.
It's a Greeple Tuesday. We talk football here in the 7 o'clock hour and the 7:22 and the 7:52 segments. Joel and Gray here. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how the loss of one offensive lineman and then getting them back can just totally flip. The Vikings are an example of that on Sunday because Christian Darrisaw was out in the game versus Atlanta, and the left side of the line was like a floodgate. It was just coming through. As soon as he went back out there, all of a sudden Carson Wentz, right-handed thrower, he got the left side of the line, his left side of the line protected. Now all of a sudden he doesn't have anybody in his face. That guy, Christian Darrisaw, pushed the guy out many times, took control of it. But he's a big man, Christian Darrisaw. If you look it up, he's probably going to be a Pro Bowler if he stays healthy for a whole year. But it's as simple as that. Offensive linemen are so hard to find. You would say, well, why can't the backups be better? Well, because the starters, most of them aren't that good, right?
Of course. And that just speaks to the general lack at the moment of NFL offensive line talent. It's kind of been trending upward the last couple seasons, but 3 or 4 years ago, it was a serious problem when injuries stacked up. It could be true again, depending on how injuries shake out. And we're just coming off a little bit the same issue with kickers. There's kickers and offensive linemen we're pretty short on right now. We're good on punters. We're mostly good on receivers, though many teams would take another really good one. Who wouldn't? Mm-hmm. But there's not just this glaring lack of what are we going to do across the league like there is at kicker and offensive linemen. I mean, speaking of kicker, Parker Romo, I feel for you, bud, but you have been released from my fantasy team. I grab them when they have a good week. It's like, do you have 2 good weeks in a row in you? Yeah. Then you might stick it. Nope.
And so many fans, and I'm guilty sometimes too, we're guilty of saying, throw the ball deep. You know, there's always penalties on those 50-yard passes. And why don't you throw the ball down the field? Well, there's two main reasons why coaches are so reluctant to do that. And number one is it takes longer for the routes to develop. So there's a pretty good chance your quarterback is going to get hit. Whether he gets sacked or does get the pass off, he's probably going to get hit in the leg, hit somewhere. He's going to get hit somewhere. And, of course, number two is the turnover. Because turnovers, one turnover in a game, if you're negative one turnovers in a game, your win-loss percentage just like plummets.
Yep.
Just plummets. So the chance of being hit or intercepted goes up too on a long pass. So the risk is really high, so you don't want to risk it that many times. Take 3, 4, 5 shots, maybe downfield. Maybe that's even more than some teams do. But there's so much that can happen bad in those plays.
100%. And that's something that I think the data reflects. I haven't reviewed enough of the film from this weekend's game, but it's something I mentioned to you yesterday morning, Joel. The moment that Zach Tom went down, I believe the next play or one of the next plays in the next 3 or so, there was a sack. And the play immediately after that, Jordan Love was running scared because he'd just been sacked and he knew that the right side of the line wasn't going to hold up. And when that's the case, I mean, okay, that's why we have to shrink the playbook. Again, I don't know if the data supports this. I think this is just my general feeling. But it felt like from that point forward, we switched to a much quicker playbook, shorter developing route, specifically because Love could not depend on the time for a 10-yard out and up. You know, there's just the receiver doesn't have that time. Love doesn't have that time. The complex play cannot develop. So, again, credit to the team for sticking in with what they had, making do until that one critical error cemented it.
It's a very rare quarterback that can make that accurate throw while getting leveled almost at the same time, because your body cannot prepare yourself for that hit if you're going to make the accurate throw. Matthew Stafford, he's incredible what he did in his career. We'll talk more football coming up. Hold on, because we've got Pat Kreitlow, who's pounding on the glass saying, I need to talk, and he'll come in here in just a moment. We'll talk more Greeple Tuesday football coming up at the end of this hour here on The Buzz. Joel Koenig, Greg Gunderson on the Buzz of the North, Pat Kreitlow, Up North News, more of him to come at the Buzz. It's about 7:52 here. It's a Greeple Tuesday. That means we talk green, we talk purple, thus the Greeple. Spell it however you want. We don't care. G-R-E-E-P-L-E, by the way.
That's how we spell it.
That's how we spell it. Joel and Gray, we're talking about the NFC North Division from this past weekend. Of course, Packers, a very disappointing loss. Just kind of a... I call it kind of a freakish loss for the Packers, because I felt they had control of that game up until the interception by Jordan Love. Even the block kick, that's just not going to happen very often, where a guy gets off the line on the edge. And give a little bit of credit to the Browns, because the Browns' defense is pretty good. Their offense isn't going to get them into the playoffs, but their defense is pretty good.
They're looking legit. They're looking. I mean, and Darryl Johnston, one of the commentators, was mentioning it all game that they're right now the Browns' defense is the best of the best, and I think this will go down more as a notch in the Browns' favor than in the Packers' demerit column, though there's plenty of that. 50% more penalties than in the Commanders game. You know, there is some unavoidable regression in key places. That said, there's silver linings. Rashawn Gary leads the league in sacks, at least before the Lions game, but we won't. I don't need so many good teams in the NFC North right now. And the Bears won. The Bears won too this week.
The Bears are showing signs of life. Caleb Williams off to a good start. You know, him and Jordan Love have pretty equal numbers. I saw a Facebook social media post on that. I mean, we all know that Caleb Williams has the potential to be pretty good if they give him a little bit of time. I'm not sure if the Bears defense is good enough to get him into the playoffs this year. But Caleb, yeah, I mean, you give him a little time, he's very athletic, he'll make good things happen.
He's got incredible instincts. He had a throw, not this past weekend, but the week before in their loss, where he throwed a Odunze on the sideline, and it was shades of Aaron Rodgers. It was like, wow, the placement, the instinct. He very clearly wasn't aiming. He's just throwing. So if you keep him in the right mindset, which may or may not be able to be coached, you know, I like to believe so. I like to believe Ben Johnson can shape Caleb Williams up. That would be incredible and terrifying and incredible.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Neither of us are a Bears fan. We both like other NFC North teams.
Yeah.
I like having better rivalries, but I don't know if I need three.
Yeah, exactly. We don't need everybody to be good.
Two's good.
In that division. The Vikings, of course, are easing themselves into a quarterback controversy, because Carson Wentz did not light it up on Sunday, but he did. He managed a game. He did what he needed to do, made some good decisions. And if Carson Wentz goes to Dublin in England, which is where the Vikings play the next 2 weeks back-to-back, if he goes there, plays well, gets a couple of wins, the Vikings have a bye week. Then they come back with Philadelphia at home. So even if J.J. McCarthy is ready to go in week 7, do you throw J.J. McCarthy back out there when Carson Wentz, let's say scenario-wise, has led your team to a 4-1 record? Do you throw the rookie back out there against the Super Bowl champions?
The only thing I'm certain of, Joel, is that you will be far from alone asking that question.
Yeah.
Kevin O'Connell's got to answer it, though. I think he will put J.J. out there if JJ is ready, because I think you got to show faith in your guy.
Yeah.
Tomlin last year, when Justin Fields was doing well, pulled him because he knew what would have happened if he left Fields in. And we can't say what would have happened, but statistics back up the idea that Fields would have started losing pretty soon.
Well, and I think there's two scenarios. If you get to that scenario in week 7, number one is, yes, you want to show confidence in JJ McCarthy. The other scenario is, so you throw Carson Wentz out there, your chances of winning that game still aren't that great, and there's a pretty good chance he comes off the field on a stretcher. in that game because he's not mobile. And we know the Eagles defense is a little bit aggressive at times.
More or less. Yeah, we might see Carson Wentz minus the one knee that he left out on the 35. Like that's within the realm of possibility. But you can't play scared either. So kind of that fine line. You gotta let Wentz do what he's gotta do. And if nothing else, maybe you're letting Wentz play for a bridge starter role. You know, maybe he goes down and starts in New Orleans next year because Spencer Rattler ain't it. that's not going to work. Yeah. Maybe Tyler Shock shapes up a little quicker than New Orleans expects. I've got to pay a little more attention to them before I share any opinions. But hey, there will be places who might want Wentz next year. I mean, Sam Darnold was in demand. Wentz got a job this year. Yeah, you never know where the gaps are going to pop up.
I still, after Sunday's games, as me being a Viking fan and you a Packer fan, of course, I still think the Packers are a better team than the Vikings right now. I think the Packers defensive, when they meet right now, if the Packers defensive line stays healthy, I think the Packer defensive line gets into the backfield on the Vikings and causes a lot of problems when the two teams meet. And I just think that the Packer defense is too good right now to not put them still as the number one team in the North.
Right, and that's, yeah, the Packers defense almost won the game for them yesterday because it's just a matter of smother, smother, smother. One of those other silver linings that remains true, Packers, zero first half touchdowns allowed. Zero.
Yeah.
Nobody has scored on them in the first half yet, and that just speaks to how smothering that defensive line can be. The Browns, anybody can score with a four-yard field. And when you hand them a four-yard field position, we gave them our own four-yard line yesterday, mm-hmm. or 2 days ago. I'm repressing the issue, Joel. We got to...
Here's one thing to consider. The Vikings scored their first touchdown outside of the fourth quarter yesterday. They did not score a touchdown in the first three quarters of game one or game two. And that's a funny stat, but the Vikings are 2-1.
Yeah.
So either the Vikings are that or... they just had a rough stretch, and now the good stuff's coming, and watch out. One of the two. I'm not sure.
The way Jeff Goldblum might say it, maybe, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
The Vikes find a way.
they did. They did find a way. And I think it's safe to say we got at least three pretty good. We got LaFleur, O'Connell, and the kneecap biter, Man Campbell. We got three pretty darn good coaches right now in the NFC North, those guys.
I think so. And we've got Ben Johnson in Chicago who could shape up. I mean,
yeah.
we could be for 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years the next, like, the dynasty division. I mean, this might be just a bloodbath. I might not survive the next decade, Joel.
Somebody step back, please. I can't take the stress. I need an easy win here at some point. Well, the Vikings got one. The Vikings got one over the Bengals.
You've cashed that in.
Thank you, Joe Burrow, for not playing. We got Pat Kreitlow coming in next. Your keyword, hey, get that to us. It's Rival, R-I-V-A-L, Pat Kreitlow.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio today is Donna from the University of Wisconsin-Madison Extension Office, but we're not talking about things that happen in Madison. We're talking about things that happen in Sawyer County. You're the 4-H director for the Sawyer County area, and welcome to the program. Appreciate being here.
Thank you so much for having me, Mark. I really enjoy my time that I get to spend with you.
Yeah, you and I know each other from the Sawyer County Fair because I've been involved with the fair for many years, and you as well. And people think of the county fair as being, that's 4-H. Lots of animals. Everybody's dealing with a horse or a pig or a cow or chickens. But I've realized now 4-H is way bigger than just the home farm now. Well, tell me a little more about what 4-H is about and how it's grown from agricultural to other aspects.
For sure. So there's 4-H's on our, it's a four-leaf clover with an H on each clover. And the heart is 1-H, hands, health, and head. So we try to get kids to care about each other, be kind, a sense of belonging, giving back to the community is with the hands. Our health, about living well, balancing your life so that you have a happy, you know, self-discipline and making healthy lifestyle choices. And then your head, of course, is about doing some critical thinking and making good choices. And through the years, as farms, family farms diminished, and as needs in the communities were discovered, there's so many more ways that 4-H can provide opportunities for youth in counties, even if they're non-agricultural or minimal agricultural counties. And 4-H does a lot of project-based learning. Hands-on project-based learning is our biggest thing. And I know that recently we had a project guide that was released from the UW-Madison Extension. And I think there's over 100 projects in there, but I know that we can do over 1,000 different things with it because we also have project area that is individualized.
Okay.
So we may have a youth in our county that decides that they want to learn more about kayaking. We can make a project with kayaking. And my job as the educator for Sawyer County is to connect them with a mentor, with an adult that is a certified volunteer that's been vetted and gone through several certification trainings with me. And it can be done online or in person. And connect them to get them more passionate about what they want to learn about. So it's a lifelong learning organization.
Yeah.
You don't just stop when you're a youth learning new things. We notice that a lot of our volunteers that come in are passionate about a certain area or a certain project. That's why they come back to 4-H.
Yep.
Give their skill sets and their love and passion for whatever project that they are interested in and learn along with the youth more about their project.
So outside of agricultural elements or projects, because at the fair we know there's a horse project, there's other 4-H projects that end up in the display building at the fairgrounds. So people think 4-H, all about animals and agriculture, but there's other projects that show up at the Sawyer County Fair as well.
Sure, and I would say that it's a snippet of what really goes on in 4-H. At the Sawyer County Fair, we are a separate entity. We're guests at the fair, just like anybody else who can come in open class and show off their projects.
Yeah.
But when you walk through that exhibit hall, you'll see woodworking, you'll see beading, jewelry making, pottery. There's a lot of flower displays, gardening, sewing, quilting. And I don't want to offend any of my listeners that have entered into other projects because I'm in a...
there's technology projects, there's photography.
There's photography. Mechanics. There's coding. There's mechanics in there. We have Lego kits. So there's STEM opportunities in there.
Yeah.
Food sciences. I mean, it's endless. And that's what was so great about 4-H.
Tell us about this event that you have coming up. It's kind of like an open house. Tell us a little bit about that.
So we do. We have what we call the 4-H Project Open House Day, which is October 19th. October is our National 4-H Week, is the second week of October. We in Sawyer County celebrated all month.
All month long.
1 week is not enough time. So we do it all month, and our enrollment year starts September 1st, and it runs through August 31st. So in September, we're kind of regrouping with the leaders and the volunteers in Sawyer County, and then we start our really hands-on projects in October and November, and then the rest of the year until fair. Yeah. And fair is our kind of our celebration and our display and our critiquing of how well we did in our project, learn from the judges how we could improve what we learned or even stretch our brains and learn more about it. So, and right now with this project open house, it's October 19th. It will be at the fairgrounds from 1 to 4 o'clock. We're going to have animal science stations, Legos, club favorites. This is all put on by the leaders, the volunteers, and the clubs. So it's youth teaching youth.
Yeah.
And youth sharing their things that they've experienced last year in 4-H to kind of see what the spark is.
Yeah. So if anyone had questions about 4-H, how would they get a hold of you?
Okay, so your best way to get a hold of me is to reach me at my email. You can try calling the office. Thing about my job is I don't get to sit in the office. If I'm in the office 5 days a week, I'm not doing my job because I need to be out there in the community. So you can email me at donna.nucky@wisc.edu. You'll find me on the Sawyer County website. for Sawyer County government website. You could look up Sawyer County 4-H, and we have our own website.
Okay.
Facebook, or you can call my number, and I will get back to you at 715-638-3294.
Wow. A lot of information, Donna. We will definitely have you back more often, and you can explain some of these projects in more detail, and maybe bring some kids in with you. That'd be great.
Sure. They would be happy. They would be happy to participate.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the radio station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward area information tomorrow morning. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.